Let's turn to Exodus in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 34. We'll read two verses, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 and 6. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. And this him, by the way, is Moses. And proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Let us turn to the book of Matthew in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. In here, the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisee, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Let us turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. Romans is a couple of books down. Romans chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. "For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy." And the last scripture we will read is to turn to Jude. Jude, verse 21. There is only one chapter, so it's verse 21. Toward the end of the New Testament. Jude, verse 31. And it says in here, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. In all the scriptures that we read, I think there is a common theme in here, or there is a common word in a way, and that is the word mercy. Okay? God revealed himself to be a God of mercy. You know, the term mercy, actually I went to a search for the word mercy, and I discovered that in the entire Bible, this word mercy occur over 300 times. Okay, it occur a whole lot in the Old Testament and New Testament, especially in Psalms. You can find that word mercy multiple times. Okay, and the word loving kindness, in a way, is interchangeable with the word mercy. Okay, we have, for example, in Psalm 57, it says that for thy mercy is great, it reached to the heavens. In another words, there is another version said that the loving kindness of God is great, it reaches to the heavens. Okay, God, our God, is a merciful God. He is merciful towards us. We became his beloved children because of God's mercy. In fact, if you once again turn to Psalm 136, And in that psalm, there are only 36 verses. Okay, and all 36 verses has, you will find a term called His mercy endures forever. Okay, the mercy of the Lord endures forever. In Exodus, in the first passage that we read, we see not only that God showed mercy to the people of Israel when He brought them out of the oppression of Pharaoh. Because the people in Egypt, they were oppressed, they cried out to God, and God has mercy upon them. And God delivered them from the hands of Pharaoh, from Egypt. Okay? And then, in wilderness, God provided all their needs. And yet, these people, they sinned against God by making a golden calf and worship idols. Okay? But by the mercy of God, God renewed His covenant with them. And it is during this time that Moses asked God, saying that if I find favor in your sight, let me know your way, that I may know you, that I may find favor in your sight. And Moses prayed to God, show me your glory. It is during this occasion that God proclaimed to Moses and to the people that He is a God of mercy. He is a merciful God. Okay? And this is God's name. God described Himself as merciful and gracious God. Because in there it says that the Lord God, merciful and gracious. Now, notice the order that God presented Himself. Okay? God presented Himself as, first of all, merciful and then gracious. We oftentimes say that, well, you know, what's the difference between mercy and grace? And there are many ways of saying it, but one way to look at it is grace refers to the one who bestowed the favor. That's grace. And mercy emphasizes on the recipient of that grace. Okay? And that is why you can see that in a way when Paul wrote his letters, every time when he put grace and mercy together, the way he put it is he always put in something like grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father be with you. You know, this is how Paul wrote his letter to Timothy. You can find this in 1 Timothy and in 2 Timothy. So it is an interesting thing to observe that when Paul wrote about the grace and mercy of the Lord, he wrote it in such a way that he began with grace and then followed by mercy. Now you may wonder why the order is reversed. When God sort of revealed Himself to Moses or to the people, He said that He is a merciful and gracious God. And yet when Paul speak to his beloved spiritual son about the Lord and His blessing, he said that grace and mercy be with you all. Okay? In a way, from an experience point of view, for all of us, we first of all experience the grace of God. And as we experience the grace of God, then we discover that indeed, the grace that we receive, the grace that we experience, is as a result of God's mercy. And that's why Paul, when he presented, he always say, grace and mercy. But when the Lord presents Himself, He always say, merciful and grace and gracious. Okay? Now, what is the Lord Jesus teaching regarding to mercy? The Lord in here, He said that in Matthew chapter 9, He said that I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus asked them to go and learn, asked the Pharisee to go and learn the meaning of this statement. Okay? What is there to learn when the Lord Jesus talked about, he desire mercy and our sacrifice? Why is it that they need to learn about this? Brothers and sisters, because there are people who receive mercy, and there are others who do not receive the mercy of God. Okay? There are people who initially receive the mercy of God, and then later slip away from the mercy of God as well. People is telling the Pharisee, those keepers of the law, and today he is telling us to learn, to understand the true meaning of mercy, so that we can be the one who not only obtain the mercy of God, but we be able to stay in God's mercy. And that's very important for us to know, okay? We need to take a look when the Lord Jesus made that statement, okay? When did the Lord said that? It was during the time when Matthew, the tax collector, was working in his tax office, okay? Matthew was called by the Lord Jesus, okay? And as a result, the Lord Jesus dine with the tax collectors and sinners, okay? And it is during this time that the Pharisee questioned, why are you eating with sinners and tax collectors? Brothers and sisters, when did you obtain the mercy of God? When did you obtain the mercy of God? Was it not similar to Matthew, who was working his own thing in his tax office, collecting tax, and sometimes maybe in a dishonest way, and yet the Lord called him. Okay, the Lord came. The Lord saw him doing his regular work, and then the Lord called him to be his disciple. Today, for us, exactly the same thing. Okay, we are called by the Lord because of God's mercy. Many a times we say that, well, you know, we found the Lord when we were young, or when we went to a gospel meeting or something like that. In fact, some of the bumper sticker in the vehicle, you say that I found it, okay? You know, this "it" refers to the salvation or refers to God. But did we really find God? Are we able to find God? No, Jesus found us. It is love, it is by his love and mercy that he found us. Did Matthew, in this case, go and look for the Lord Jesus? The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus came, passes by there, and he saw Matthew, and then he called him. There was this woman at the well in Samaria. And after she discovered that this person who asked her for water was indeed the Messiah, so she came to her own village and then started to tell her own people ask them to come and see, because she said that this person whom I just talked to, he was able to tell me all of the things that I have done in the past. He must be the Messiah. He must be the promised one from God. She thought that she found the Lord Jesus. The actual fact is that the Lord Jesus made an effort to go to Samaria, to go to that well, to wait for that woman to show up. And this is exactly how that happened to many of us, or actually to all of us. We think that we somehow come to seek him out, and then we found him. But it was the Lord who sought us out. Okay. Now, the Lord Jesus in here contrasts mercy with sacrifice. When Jesus speaks of mercy, he particularly put sacrifice and mercy together. What is mercy? In a simple way, mercy is what God gives to us or what we obtain from God. But what is sacrifice? Sacrifice means that what man gives to God. Sacrifices, like in the Old Testament, when men are truly thankful for God's grace, they will offer a lamb or a ram to God. Okay, and for those who cannot afford to offer up a lamb or a bull as a sacrifice, they will offer up a pigeon. Okay, and yes, in the Old Testament time, God requires His chosen people to bring offerings to Him. But does that mean that God is in lack of anything, that He asks His people to offer an animal to Him as a sacrifice? No. The sacrifice of the Old Testament actually typify the Lamb of God, the Son of God, who was to be the true sacrifice. In fact, the Lord Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, represent all of the Old Testament time animal sacrifice. Okay, He typify the one that God can accept when we offer up to Him. Actually, the offering that we bring to God, whether we would bring our time, or sometimes we'll come to church, we, you know, donate some money, or sometimes we put in our service or talents. All of these things, we think that we are doing God a favor. Sometimes we think, well, you know, just the fact that I can come to the meeting, I'm doing God a big favor. But actually, that is not the case. Not knowing that our time, our money, our talent that we think we can offer to God, those are first of all given by God to us. Without the mercy of God, we will not be able to take our next breath. The time that we have, the money, the talent that we have, they're all given to us because of the mercy of God. Even the opportunity to offer something, whether it be time, money, or effort, to God, it is still the mercy of God. Okay? So sacrifice that we bring to God is actually a reflection of God's mercy. But man is so pitiful. The more grace God gives them, the more they can offer, then the more they become prideful. They become proud of themselves. Okay? This was the condition of the Pharisee at that time. They keep the law of God. They thought that whatever they've been doing for God is doing God a favor. And in the end, they rejected the Son of God when the Lord Jesus came to their midst. Okay? And they slip away from the mercy of God. Brothers and sisters, may God have mercy upon us, that we see that if there is anything today, whether it be money, talent, or effort, that we can offer to God, it is because of His mercy. Because His mercy come upon us in the first place, that give us the ability and the opportunity to offer up whatever we can to Him. And this indeed is what the mercy of the Lord is all about. Now, mercy also closely related to love. Mercy closely relates to love. Love emphasizes on compatibility. It is a mutual love between two persons, isn't it? Okay, that's why when you have a marriage, between a bride and a bridegroom, and they have mutual love toward each other. They love each other, in other words. They have a compatible love toward each other. That's love. What is mercy? It means toward one that is not compatible. Okay, that is mercy. Whose condition is far from the required state of love. And yet, he is loved and cherished and nourished so that he would become compatible. And this, brothers and sisters, is mercy. Let me give you an example. Remember after the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead and on the Sea of Tiberia, okay? The Lord Jesus asked Peter this one question three times. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than this? We know that the word love that the Lord Jesus used was the divine love, the agape love, the highest love, a sacrificial love, a love that is willing to lay down his own life. And yet, after the Lord Jesus asked Peter, do you love me with that divine love? You know how Peter answered? Peter said, I do love you. But that love that Peter used was the word fond. I'm fond of you. I have a feeling for you as a friend. But that's it. I will not be able to love you the way you love me. The way you love me is you die on that cross for me. That's divine love. But the love that I can only offer to you is a filial love. It is a love of a friend. So you can see that there is a great incompatibility between the love of Peter and that of the Lord Jesus. Okay? And yet, Peter was the object of God's mercy. And God changed him from the filial love to the agape love. And that is why the Lord Jesus prophesied how Peter's love was going to be changed in such a wonderful way. The Lord Jesus said that when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wish. But when you became old, you will stretch out your hand and somebody will gird you and will bring you to a place where you do not wish. This is to typify how Peter was going to die for his Lord, because his love has risen from the filial love to that of the agape love, to the divine love. Peter is the object of the mercy of the Lord. In fact, Peter experienced so much of the mercy of God that in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 he said that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us into a living hope. Peter in here described the mercy of God as the abundant mercy, because he indeed experience that the mercy of God is so abundant toward him. Brothers and sisters, we are just like Peter. Are we not? Never has one thought of love for God. We only love ourselves. We only care for ourselves. We only care for our own interests. And yet one day, because God's love, by his great mercy, he came and he sought us out and he saved us. He called us to serve him. He adorned us with his grace so that we become worthy companion of his in the New Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, this is the mercy of God, changing us from sinner to become a prince, to be able to dine with him together. The more we come to experience the great love of God, the more, brothers and sisters, we realize how unworthy we are. And the more we appreciate God's mercy. Every time when I have a little reflection of my life, of where God has brought me from, and to what stage I'm in today, I would have only one thing to say. It is truly the mercy of God. And the more I see the mercy of God, the more I discover that there's nothing that I can boast. Many a times we sort of compare ourselves with others. We think that, well, you know, we're a little bit better than others. Had it not been for the mercy of God, brothers and sisters, I can testify to you that I don't even know where I would have been today. Because I have gone far from Him. And yet by His mercy, He called me back. But why do some people fail to receive God's mercy? Why? When the Lord Jesus was on earth, He came into contact with many, many people. Okay? Some obtained mercy and others did not. Why is that? In Matthew chapter 9, the Pharisee questioned the Lord Jesus why he would have dinner with the tax collectors and sinners. The Lord Jesus answered, it is not for those who are healthy that need a physician, but those who are sick. Not only that they, the Pharisee and the scribe, not only that they fail to see the reason Jesus came to this world is to draw close to sinners so that He could save them. They also fail to see that they themselves are mighty sick. They look at themselves, they consider themselves to be the keepers of God's law, and they consider themselves to be good enough for God. They always feel that they are a little bit superior comparing to others. Many a times we do that, okay? And yet, they don't realize that their religion is flawed and that their life is so pitiful. Those religious people, the high-minded attitude is well described actually in the book of Luke chapter 18. The Lord Jesus gave this example. He said that two men went up into the temple to pray. Okay, one is a Pharisee, in other words, a religious person. Okay, the other is a tax collector. Okay, the Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. He said, God, I thank you for I'm not like the other people. He was looking at the tax collector. He was looked down on him. He said, I was not like him, a swindler, unjust, adulterous. He was looking down at the tax collector. And then he started to say to God, I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. Okay? And he was lifting his eye up and prayed to God in that fashion. And yet the poor sinner, the poor tax collector, standing some distance away, not even willing to lift up his eye toward heaven. And he was beating his chest. He was saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Brothers and sisters, the Lord said that it was the sinner who would go away justified by God, who would be accepted by God, accepted by God. He's the one who received mercy, not the one who thinks that they have something to offer to God. Do you think that you have something that you can offer to God? One thing we ought to know. Paul tells us that in Romans 9, the reason the Israelites, the people of God, was rejected by God was because they reject the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, out of their pride. They think that they got something. They think that they have the promise of God through their forefather Abraham. They refuse to humble themselves before God. Okay? They consider themselves to be the chosen people of God, that they are under the covenant of God. Okay? And yet, because of their high-minded attitude, okay, they stumble. The whole nation of Israel slipped away from God's mercy. And meantime, because of their failures, the Gentiles, the people who were outside of the covenant of God. Today, the Gentiles were chosen to be the object of God's mercy. God said, I will call those who were not my people, my people. And I will call those who were not my beloved, my beloved. And I will call them sons of the living God. Those people who had no condition to be in the covenant of God, somehow they received mercy. Today, the reason why we receive mercy is we receive the salvation of God is because God is merciful toward us. But Paul also warns us that we could be cut off the same way as the Israelites if we reject his son who is speaking to you today. If we reject him in our heart as he is speaking to us, we will slip away from the mercy of God as well, just like the Israelites. If our hearts are hardened, there is an opportunity that we slip outside of the mercy of God. Brothers and sisters, remember, we are only sinners saved by grace. We were utterly corrupted in our life previously, but now by God's mercy we are saved. And furthermore, we are called to serve God. We are called to offer ourselves, offer our life up to God as a living sacrifice. And we are serving Him. As we are serving Him, we are serving Him by the grace and mercy of God. And in this process, there is a danger that we begin to appreciate our service to our God. We begin to appreciate our gift, our service, to such an extent that sometimes we think that we are a little bit better off than other brothers and sisters. Sometimes when the church asks you to serve, you feel that you are doing God a favor. And there's even this hidden pride in you thinking that you are better than the other people. And when this condition occurs, this is the mark of one who will not receive the mercy of God. Actually, you know what? In the Bible, there are many examples of those who slip away from the mercy of God. I'll give you three sad examples. The first one is King Saul. Okay? He started well. He was a humble man before he was anointed king over Israel. Okay? He listened to Samuel's instruction initially. Samuel asked him to do this and he will follow suit. He will follow faithfully. And yet later on, his heart was not for God. He did not keep God's commandment. And he disobeyed God. And worst of all, he did not repent after Samuel pointed out to him of his disobedience. And as a result, Saul, King Saul, slipped away from God's mercy. Okay? And he was never recovered from that point on. The point about Saul is this. The Lord said that to obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of ram. Rebellion is just like idolatry. And insubordination is just like witchcraft. For King Saul, his problem was that he was unwilling to submit himself, unwilling to obey. And even after he was told that he was wrong, he did not humble himself and repent before God. That's a big contrast when you think about the first king of Israel and the second king of Israel. The first king, of course, is King Saul. And the second king of Israel is King David. King David also sinned. But when the prophet Nathan pointed out to him of his sin, you know what David did? His heart was so broken because of his sin before God. And in the Psalms, he said that against thee only have I sinned. And in other words, David, after he sinned and after he is aware of his sin, he owned up to his own sin. He would not argue, just like Saul would argue with Samuel. He owned it up. He said, yes, God, I sin against you. The second example of the one who slipped away from the mercy of God is King Solomon. He was greatly loved by the Lord. And among the 19 sons of David, God chose him to be David's successor. Okay? And God gave him wisdom to manage the people, to manage the nation. But gradually his heart turned away from God. Though God revealed to him 3 times, and yet he rebelled against God. He continued to follow his wives, his many wives, to worship idols. Okay? The Bible did not record Solomon's repentance. And his kingdom was broken up into two soon after his son were made king. And consequently, Solomon fell from the mercy of God. The point about Solomon is this. When we have it all, just like Solomon, we started to lose the sense of God's preciousness. And we end up doing the most foolish things. And our hearts will cease to follow God and slowly wander away. When God gives us all that we ask for, many a times there is a danger that we become foolish. Actually, Solomon, we know that is the wisest guy ever lived in this world. And yet, at the end, he did the most foolish thing. And this is after God warned him 3 times not to do it. And he was still not willing to wake up to his condition. The third one, the third person that slipped away from the mercy of God is King Uzziah. We know that King Uzziah, his father is Amaziah. Okay. Amaziah is a good king. He followed the Lord. And King Uzziah, as a result of the influence of his father, okay, he had a godly start. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah the prophet. The prophet was coaching him, okay, so that he would walk in the way of the Lord. And God, as a result, prospered him. Okay? But his heart became proud as his kingdom became strong. And he entered into the temple to burn incense on the altar. Okay? And immediately he became a leper because the Lord has smitten him. The Lord struck him. Okay? Right at the point of when his heart became proud and he was offering incense, right at that point, the Lord struck him and he has this leprosy. The worst part of this whole thing is this. He never did repent for the balance of his life, and was cut off from the house of the Lord until his death. This is another solemn warning of how we can fall from the mercy of God. The point about you see here is this: pride through success will corrupt our hearts and bring swift destruction. Now, I do want to mention about those who, the good example, the example of those passings that they receive the mercy of God to the very end. Okay, the first example that I want to give you is, of course, Jacob. Jacob started out not so good. We know that Jacob is a sneaky person. Okay, he tried to grab whatever he can and took advantage of his older brother. Okay, and not only that, he took advantage of anyone whom he is with, like his uncle Laban. Okay, he's a selfish guy. But there is one good thing about Jacob. This good thing about Jacob is that even though he is so cunning and he is so selfish, he loved the blessing of God. He cherished the blessing of God, whereas his brother Esau would look lightly upon the blessing of God. But not for Jacob. He really wanted to obtain the blessing of God. Now, God chastened Jacob and dealt with him all his life. Okay? And when King Pharaoh asked Jacob, how old was he? Jacob answered, few and unpleasant have been the years of my life. We know that Jacob lived about 130 years old. Okay. Well, I mean, to today's standard, that's long. But back then, it wasn't the case. Okay. Why? Because he did not depend on God, but himself. That is why God disciplined him. Thanks be to God. As terrible a character as Jacob, a cunning guy, God did change him to become the Prince of God. And Jacob remained in God's mercy all his life. So the point about Jacob of obtaining to remain in the mercy of God is that Jacob desired God's blessing. And that's something that we can learn from. We don't want to learn from his bad point about trying to cheat people out and so on and so forth. But there is a good point that we can learn from him. And that is, we desire God's blessing. And that's a good thing. The second one that that remained in the mercy of God to the very end, of course, is David. Okay, he started well with God, and the Bible tells us that he is a man who's after God's own heart. And later on, even after he committed serious sins, okay, he humbled himself, like I said earlier. But you know what? In the latter years of his life, he sinned by numbering the people. Okay? God gave him three choices of punishment. He was not supposed to number his people, but he did. So he sinned against God, and God said, okay, I'm going to punish you. I'll give you three choices. Okay? The first choice is to have 7 years of famine in his land, in his country. And the second choice is 3 months chased by his enemies. And the third choice, God told him, was to have 3 days of pestilence, diseases, in your land. Okay? And David chose, in this case, to fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. David, understand how great the mercy of the Lord is. So among the three punishment that God has given him, he would rather fall into the hand of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, when we fail God, we need to remember how David chose. Okay? Never allow ourselves to fall into the hands of the enemy. never allow us to fall into the hands of the devil, because the devil is merciless. You would rather want to fall into the hand of a God who is full of mercy. Number three, the third person who has received mercy and remain under the mercy of God, of course, is Paul. Paul, in his own personal testimony to Timothy, his spiritual son, he said that I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent aggressor. And yet, he said, I obtained mercy. He said that I am the chief of all sinners. In other words, he is the worst of sinners. And yet, I obtained the mercy of God. This is his testimony. Though Paul started out at the wrong course, and yet, by God's mercy, he was brought back by God's grace. Okay? And the more Paul served God, the more he was mightily used by God, and the more unworthy Paul realized of himself. And as a result, he kept on staying under the mercy of God. He became more and more appreciated, in other words, of the great mercy of God. This should be the normal condition of all of the Christians. Brothers and sisters, I've said this, and I want to say it again. The more you realize how undeserving you are, the more God can use you, the more mercy you will receive, you will experience. We need to make sure that we stay in the mercy of God. But someone may say that, well, you know, God will have mercy on whomever God will have mercy, and God will have compassion on whomever God will have compassion. So it is not of him who wills, and it is not of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Okay? And that's you can find that in Romans chapter 9. Then you ask this question here, if it seems to suggest that our striving and diligence to seek to obtain the mercy of God may not be of any use, because it is not of him who wills, and it is not of him who runs, but it all depends on God who shows us his mercy. So if God does not show his mercy, then our effort will become in vain. You know, that's the argument, is that right? That's the word of the Lord. He will only show mercy to whomever he chooses. And if that's the case, I mean, we can try as hard as we can, but if we are not the one God has chosen, then too bad. We're outside of the mercy of God. Is that true? Because if it is our effort that we can earn God's mercy, brothers and sisters, then how can we call this as the mercy of God? If we think that for a moment that we can earn it, then it's no longer mercy. This is not true, brothers and sisters. The way we look at this is what we read in the book of Jude. And it tells us that we have one responsibility before God. Okay? We need to keep ourselves in the love of God. Because God loves us, we have one responsibility, and that is to stay in God's love. Never to leave his love. And in the meantime, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We need to do that. When we keep ourselves in God's love, looking for the Lord Jesus' mercy, God will make sure that that more of his life will be given to us. And God will be able to keep us from falling, keep us blameless until we see his face. Okay? So how can we, how do we keep ourselves in God's love? How do we keep ourselves in God's love if we want to remain in the mercy of God? We need to love God, brothers and sisters. How do we love God? Not just by our mouth, not just when we sing songs that God, we love you. No. Jesus showed Peter a practical way at the Sea of Tiberias. Jesus asked Peter, feed my lamb, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Do not be just a recipient of services in the church. You need to serve, you need to learn to serve in whatever capacity God has given you. Okay? We need to learn to serve God in the church. This is the secret of not allowing ourselves to slip from the mercy of God. Whatever God has asked of you to come and serve him, you need to learn to say yes. Yeah, we don't know how, but guess what? God has abundant mercy, and we can come and depend on his mercy to learn to serve together with brothers and sisters. This is how we can remain in the mercy of God, and we can even experience more of his mercy. I want to end this session by reading one of the psalms from David, who truly know the mercy of God. Let's turn to Psalm 103. This is after David has experienced the abundant mercy of God, and he wrote this psalm. It's such a wonderful way. Okay, we will read from verse 1 to 13. Okay, David expressed his gratitude toward the Lord. He said in here, Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from the pit, who crowns me with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies my years with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. You see, I use the word my instead of you, okay? The Lord performed righteous deeds and judgment for all who are oppressed. He made known his way to Moses. He acted to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. Actually, that the word compassionate is merciful and gracious. Slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sin, nor reward us according to our iniquities. For as far, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. Indeed, as I read this psalm, I truly see that our Lord is so merciful. He knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust. And yet, he has multiple bountiful mercy upon people like us, people who appear today and disappear tomorrow, and yet God would extend his mercy to a temporal people like us, and we truly need to bow down and worship him. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much that you remind us that you are a merciful and gracious God. Lord, we know that just the fact that we can even come before you, that we have this opportunity to gather before you, it is because of your mercy. Lord, you love us so much that before we came to know you, you knew us already. And as a result, Lord, the Bible tells us that you have chosen us before the foundation of the world. And more than that, Lord, you called us to be your own. And then, Lord, you sanctify us, you change us, and you make us to believe in your truth. And Lord, more than that, you want us to glorify you in our life. Lord, all of these are nothing but your mercy. We prayed indeed that you would help us to have a humble heart before you, knowing that if there be anything that we can offer, anything that we consider to be of something of value, Lord, it is all because of your mercy. Lord, help us to be humble, to continue to seek your face so that we will remain in your mercy throughout our life. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray.